Hi, friends, and welcome to my treehouse. My name's Miss Adventure, and I'm so glad you're here with me today. You can grab a hold of the rope ladder and climb on up to join me. Watch your step and grab a cushion to sit on. Here at Miss Adventure's treehouse, I love having fun, being silly, sharing stories, making new friends, and in the process, learning what makes Jesus so special and what makes us so special to him. I don't look like Miss Adventure? Oh, sorry, I forgot I still had my costume on. No, I'm not really a superhero. I'm really Miss Adventure. I'll take my mask off. See, it's me. You want to know why I'm dressed like a superhero? That's a good question. I was at the library the other day, and a boy came up and asked if I was a hero. I told a friend about it, and apparently a certain superhero and I do look a lot alike. So I couldn't resist trying on her costume. What do you think? Now, if only I could use her stretchy powers to grab today's story on my desk over there! Whoa! Oh my! I had no idea the suit came with superpowers too! That was amazing! Wonder what else it can do. We better hear today's story before I get too carried away with all these superpowers. Oh, but before we jump in, I need to say thank you to a few people. Thank you, Amelia, Addie, and Elishua, for each playing the role of a chipmunk in today's story. Thank you, Adea, Ella, Amelia, and Madison, for making some fantastic drawings for me. And Agnes, thank you for sending me a picture of a baby owl that you made. You all are fantastic artists. If you would like to send me a drawing, I would love that too. You can find my email address in the show notes, or send it to me through our Facebook group. And I would be so honored if you would do this favor for me. Would you please share the podcast with your friends and family, or even a total stranger by leaving a review? That would free up more time for me to write stories, if you would help me to get the word out about the podcast. One more thing. Do you remember our story about Zachary and his adventures back in time around Jesus' birth? My family and I will be listening to those stories again this December as we get excited about celebrating Jesus' birth again. If you would like a way to prepare for Christmas this Advent season, I would love to have you join us in that. Okay, so let's get to today's story. It's called Peppy's First Winter Olympics. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, pups and cubs, welcome to the 37th Annual Forest Animal Winter Olympics, right here in your very own backyard. Wait a minute, folks. Maybe not his backyard.
Morty Moose announced, lowering the microphone from his flapping jaws. As the sun rose over the mountaintop to the east, a short, black-and-white, sharply-dressed creature waddled slowly toward the information booth, oblivious to the babbling moose with a microphone. Peppy looked around at the snow-covered hills, the massive tents, the fancy lights shining atop the mountain peak, taken aback by the magnificence of the festivities, but he didn't notice someone speaking to him.
Name? Name, sir?
Oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am. I was just... This is just... Wow.
First time here, huh?
Yes, matter of fact, it is. How did you know?
It's always easy to spot a first-timer, especially when they're not a forest animal. What's your name?
Peppy? Peppy Penguin.
Very well then, Mr. Penguin. If you'll make your way over there to those white boards, she said, pointing. Leaning against the trees to my right, your left, you can sign up for the event you would like to compete in. I'm sure you've been training for something, right, son?
Yes, ma'am, I have. I wouldn't have traveled this far otherwise. It's the downhill ski jump, Peppy said with his chin held high. I've learned how to do a quadruple axel twist with a whirligig and a tail waggle.
He spun around and wiggled his backside. Interesting. Yes, you can sign up for that right over there, in between the downhill slalom, it looks like, and the, pottery competition. Now, don't look so starstruck, and best of luck to you, newcomer.
Thank you, ma'am, Peppy said with a smile and headed toward the sign that said sign up here to begin his first ever Winter Olympic journey.
Gather around, one and all.
The excited chatter slowly quieted, and hundreds of animals gathered in widening circles around the announcer. Other moose, wolves, arctic foxes, snow leopards, snowy owls, and even seals, walruses, and polar bears stood so quietly you could hear a pin drop, ready to hear Morty's announcement.
Thank you all for signing up for the appropriate game, sport, or event you are here to compete in. After careful deliberation and look at the weather forecast for the week, the judges have prepared our schedule of events. Tomorrow, the official festivities will begin with snow hunting. Oliver Owl, Freddy Fox, Franklin Fox, Fiona Fox, Maria Moose?
What? I'm huge. I can hunt.
She eats grass.
And up-and-coming star, Olander Owl the Second. You will report here after sunset tomorrow evening. Owls and foxes, that time should work in your favor, being nocturnal and all. You're welcome. The next event, rump ice sliding, will happen
directly. Peppy stood expectantly, taking in every moment of the experience. He waited patiently to hear what day and time his downhill ski jump competition, and hopefully his victory, would be.
And last but not least, Pringle Polar Bear, Walter William Wiggles Walrus III, Sally Seal, William Wolf, and Rudy Reindeer. You all will be competing in our final event, the downhill skiing competition.
Why didn't Morty call my name? He slowly lifted his flipper to ask.
But before we can begin any other competition, we must first select this year's Olympic torch to be held by the late great Olander Owl the First, in memory of all of our four animals who have gone before.
Peppy looked behind Morty to see a very impressive, taller-than-life, wooden statue of an owl, Olander Owl, with his wings stretched high in the air.
Therefore, our pottery competition will be held when the sun is directly overhead in the log cabin at the top of Mount Olympics. Mary Jo Mountain Goat, Fiona Fox, Marvin Moose, Sleuth the Snow Leopard, and Peppy Penguin, you will need to report.
Morty Moose's voice became quiet as Peppy's head began spinning.
Pottery competition? I'm not a potter. I'm here to ski jump and tail waggle.
His flipper fell as he blinked, focusing his eyes on the white sign-up boards behind Morty.
Downhill ski jump. Pringles Polar Bear. Walter William Wiggles Walrus III, Sally Seal, William Wolf, and Rudy Reindeer. But where's my name?
He looked frantically at the board for pottery right next to the ski jump board.
You've got to be kidding!
Peppy kicked the snow.
How did I? What did I? This is the worst day of my life.
Peppy had spent the last 5 weeks waddling, swimming, and even riding on the back of a giant moose to get to the Winter Olympics. Not to mention months training for the ski jump.
How did I sign up for pottery?
He grabbed a handful of snow, packed it tight, and threw it at the closest tree. He would have thrown it at himself if he could have. Peppy sat down in the snow with a huff.
Being upset isn't going to change anything. You know what? I may not be able to ski jump, but I can at least compete in something.
With a better attitude, Peppy built a small igloo to sleep in for the night and headed for the log cabin. Even though there were rules against eating other animals during the Olympics, he couldn't bring himself to stand near a snow leopard. It was a matter of principle.
so he found an empty wheel near Marvin Moose.
Good afternoon, competitors.
A tiny voice caught Peppy's attention. He looked around, finally noticing the voice was that of a chipmunk, standing upon a desk at the front of the room in the cabin. She was dressed in a red fuzzy coat with white trim, with an even smaller red hat to top her head.
As you all know,
Peppy wasn't so sure he would know what she was about to announce.
This competition is very important. You will each be creating a torch. I, winner, the best torch decided by our three judges, will receive, along with a gold medal, the honor of their torch, holding the official Olympic flame in the wing of none other than Olander Owl.
This is my year. I can feel it, whispered Mary Jo Mountain Goat.
At least one of us long-timers should win this year,
added Marvin Moose, who had been competing in the torch competition for longer than most of the other animals had been alive. His hooves had permanent clay stains to prove it.
You will each have an hour to design your flame holder.
Flamethrower?
The question came out louder than Peppy intended.
Your torch,
the chipmunk clarified.
You will need a coated piece of pottery and magic quick drying powder to keep it from breaking in the firing process. And then, before time has expired, you will carry your piece to the firing pit in the front room of the cabin.
1 hour, torch, magic powder, firing pit,
Peppy repeated more quietly this time.
Once they have been fired for 24 3/8 hours, you will be responsible for carrying your torch, with gloves, of course, from the fire pit to the statue of Olander Owl. You must turn in your creation by precisely the moment the sun falls below the tallest treetop on yonder mountain. Come on, for the final judging. Any questions?
Peppy had lots of questions, but now didn't seem the appropriate time to ask any of them.
Okay, your time begins in 3, 2, 1. Let the competition begin!
Peppy looked down at the lump of clay on his pottery wheel, and then down at the pedal on the floor. Then, with determination to do his best, he turned his eyes to his competitors, ready to learn.
It looks like I need to press a wet flipper in the middle to make a cup shape,
Peppy noticed as he looked at the snow leopard's wheel across the room. But the harder he tried to use his flippers to shape his clay into the shape of a cup like his competitors, the worse it looked. Mary Jo, Fiona, Sleuth, and Marvin all had even-looking, smooth pots. Marvin's was tall and slender, Fiona's was short and wide. Peppy's, well, it looked more like it had been attacked by a seal.
Oh, stink!
Fiona Fox broke the silence as she put a paw directly on top of her creation and squished it down.
I'm starting over.
Aha! Thought Peppy. We get do-overs,
and followed Fiona's lead. In fact, for the next 55 minutes, Peppy spun and smushed his creations as many times as there were minutes.
This is my last try,
Peppy gave himself a pep talk.
You can do this, Peppy. You've got it.
He focused with laser-sharp intensity on his creation. As he turned his wheel and pressed down on the center of his clay with one flipper, one side grew longer than the other. The mouth of the piece grew wider and wider, and the wider it grew, the more lopsided it was.
Competitors, this is your final minute!
Peppy knew he had no other choice but to grab his crumpled, lopsided attempt at a torch and carry it to the firing pit.
Here you are, ma'am.
Peppy's head hung low as he handed this torch to the chipmunk in charge of the fire.
Look at that. I would guess the penguin hasn't even seen a torch before, let alone made one.
Peppy made his way back to his igloo, feeling less peppy than ever before. He slunk down on his back and cried himself to sleep.
And the pottery winner is Peppy, Peppy, Peppy Penguin! No, wait. We read that wrong. Peppy Penguin was the loser of the pottery competition.
Loser.
Obviously, he forgot something important.
Peppy shot up off the hard snow-packed ground he used as a bed in his igloo.
Powder! The magic drying powder! I totally forgot it. My torch is surely ruined now.
Peppy caught his breath, realized it was still the middle of the night, and tried to recall what had happened the day before.
Did I put the powder on my pottery? No, I know I didn't. I know it.
He laid back down and tried to will himself to sleep, but sleep would not come. What was that? Peppy must have finally fallen asleep and awoke to the loudest sound he had ever heard. The sky was beginning to brighten as the cloud-covered sun began its ascent into the sky. Maybe I dreamed it. Or are we getting a thundersnow today? Once it was light enough, Peppy made his way to the log cabin. Mary Jo Mountain Goat met Peppy at the entrance to the cabin.
Nothing's ready yet.
That's what I figured. Mary Jo, have you ever made a big mistake?
Of course I have. Why do you ask?
Well, I think I forgot to put the drying powder on my torch. It wasn't good to begin with, but now I'm sure it's been cracked and busted.
Oh, Peppy, I'm so sorry.
Thanks, but there's more. I'm not even a potter. I've never worked with clay before in my whole life.
We don't even have clay where I'm from. Only snow and ice.
Yesterday, I signed up for the wrong event accidentally. I was supposed to be competing in the ski jump.
Now, that makes a lot more sense for someone like you. I imagine it's hard to make a torch with flippers instead of hooves or paws.
That's an understatement. But I tried my best. I traveled all this way and I can't just go back home.
Hey, did you hear that really loud noise this morning?
I did. Do you know what that was?
I don't know, but penguins have really good directional hearing and it came from that direction over there, where we signed up for the events yesterday.
Well, that's where the breakfast hall is. Since our pottery isn't ready yet, would you like to join me for breakfast? And we'll try to investigate this mysterious sound some more?
Sure, I'd love that.
After filling their bellies with a breakfast feast fit for royalty, sesame-crusted Alaskan salmon, fresh chicory plants and dandelions, even chocolate-covered snails for dessert, Mary Jo and Peppy headed outside.
Who knew breakfast needed dessert? What a meal! I'm stuffed.
Me too.
I'm sure glad.
Mary Jo stopped speaking and looked up at the statue of Olander Owl the First. Yesterday, his wings had been outstretched, the left one's tip wrapping around the place where the torch would sit to light the games. Today, the left wingtip was lying on the ground, and a jagged hole had been blasted through the wing just below the tip.
What happened?
Reindeer fight. They were arguing over who looked most like Olander.
The owl?
Peppy looked confused.
Yes, the owl. Everyone wants to be just like him. He was a 15-time champion at the Rump Ice Slide competition, and he won the snow hunting competition more times than I can remember. Anyway, they were on their hind legs battling it out when Rex's antlers crashed right into Olander's wing, knocking it off. Apparently, at the same time Reginald was charging at Rex and his antlers, sharpest I've ever seen, poked this hole right through great old Olander. He was stuck there until about an hour ago. Medical team had to come free him. Something about butter and oil, I don't know. Now they're both disqualified from the games. No one hurts Olander and gets away with it.
Morty, we're alive in 5, 4, 3.
Morty turned his attention toward a video camera.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got breaking news here at Mount Olympics.
Unbelievable.
Peppy whispered as he and Mary Jo moved quickly away from the scene. Peppy practically fell asleep before making it back to his igloo with his lack of sleep the night before and all, and awoke in a panic as he realized it was nearly time for the pottery judging. He grabbed the oven mitts Mary Jo let him borrow and darted for the cabin, where all of the animals had gathered to retrieve their torches.
Peppy, yes, here's yours.
The chipmunk handed the misshapen torch to Peppy's gloved flippers, and to his surprise, it was all in one piece.
It didn't crack? I know I forgot to put the drying powder on it. It's a miracle.
Joy shone from his face.
Oh, this is hot.
Peppy bobbled his attempt at pottery from flipper to flipper as a fly landed on his beak. He
shook his head to make it fly away, but it just landed on his flipper. As Peppy bobbled his hot pottery from his left oven mitt to the right, the fly landed on his eye.
You pesky little... No!
The misshapen torch was no longer misshapen. It was destroyed. Broken into 30 pieces, maybe more. He hung his head, wanting to scream or say something bad. But nothing would come out. He was too distraught.
Nothing, I mean nothing, is going my way,
Mary Jo interrupted his thoughts.
Here, I think we can fix it,
she said, handing Peppy a bottle of super glue. She reached for the pieces of pottery with her cloven hooves and began piecing them together.
Hurry, though, the judging will start in half an hour.
Welcome again, animals great and small, to our opening ceremony and first event. The torch-making competition, judging, begins now. Despite the reindeer incident, Mr. Olander here will have a torch before the games officially begin with our snow hunting competition this evening. Our judges for this evening are Fluffy, Muffy, and Nutty.
Three tiny chipmunks all dressed in red fuzzy coats and hats sat shivering on a long bench near the statue.
And our first competitor is...
Wait, sir! Wait, please! Please tell me I'm not too late! The sun hasn't passed the last treetop yet, has it?
Morty checked over his shoulder as Peppy held out his torch, more misshapen than ever, but held together by Mary Jo's glue.
I do believe you made it just in time, little fella. Go ahead and get in line with the others.
Oh, thank you so much, sir.
As I was saying...
The judging went on as scheduled, but not as the animals had hoped. Each torch that was presented would have fit perfectly in Olander's wing before the incident, but not now. In fact, now the wooden wing of the statue couldn't hold any of them.
Last but not least... Well, maybe scratch that last bit... Last, we have Peppy Penguin's torch, judges.
The sun, now completely behind the far mountain, left the statue of Olander standing in near darkness, other than the string of lights positioned around the dining hall and up to the mountaintop. Morty held up Peppy's creation. It was small on one end and really wide on the other, like an ice cream cone. The edges were jagged, and one side was 4 inches longer than the other. Worst of all, all of the cracks could be seen where it had been glued back together. Even Peppy, especially Peppy, could see that it was far from perfect.
Here we go!
Morty reached up slowly to attempt placing the torch in Olander's wing, when to Peppy's surprise, it slipped and slid right into the hole made by Rex's antler.
Well, well!
Morty articulated the surprise on the faces of the entire crowd. The judges began to whisper to themselves.
He's holding it. It's a miracle. But it's so ugly. Could we possibly pick this thing to be our Olympic torch? Morty, can you please see this one lit?
Morty placed the kindling inside and lit the torch.
Isn't it going to catch Olander on fire the way it's shaped?
Judge number one whispered.
No, it's not. See how that odd shape is protecting them from the fire?
Folks,
Morty tried talking into his microphone, but it wasn't working. He yelled.
Folks, it appears that the power has gone out. Please stay calm and stay put. I don't want anyone getting hurt in the dark.
How will we compete in the dark? Morty asked himself. No worries, Mort, said Fiona Fox. We snow hunters hunt in the dark of night anyway.
But we can't judge the hunt and the dog.
A tiny shivering voice rang out.
We won't be able to tell who wins.
For a moment, a sad silence fell over the crowd. But as their eyes adjusted to the lack of light, one by one, they all noticed something.
The cracks! Mary Jo, look! The light in my torch is shining through the cracks. Everybody, the cracks in my torch, they're letting light through. Judges, look, you can't see.
Smiles crept onto the judges' faces. They gave each other knowing looks.
You're right, Penguin, sir. And the winner of this year's Pottery Torch competition is... Peppa Pig Penguin! And you saved our first winter game! Thank you, Peppy! Congratulations!
The Olympics had come to a close. Peppy's torch lit the way for Olander Owl II to win his first ever snow hunting competition, just like his dad. The power returned for the rest of the competition. Mary Jo won the bronze medal in the rump ice sliding competition. And Mary Jo and Peppy became incredible friends throughout the games.
That was amazing! You were the best rump ice slider I've ever seen!
Peppy gave Mary Jo a hug.
Thank you. Yes, it was amazing. I still can't believe that crazy torch of yours saved the first day of the Olympics. I'm so proud of you for not giving up. Thanks. I had lots of opportunities to do that, huh? But what's a setback here and there? I wouldn't have done it at all without your support, Mary Jo.
Peppy's mountain goat friend looked down at the snow.
Well, I guess this is goodbye? No. I'll see you later. I'll be back next year for sure. I've still got to win that ski jump. And without your competition, maybe I can make the winning torch.
Friends, did you think Peppy would win a gold medal? It sure kept looking like his best efforts were ending in failure, didn't it? After traveling such a long way, he accidentally signed up for an event he didn't even know how to compete in. His best attempt to make a cup-shaped torch didn't go so well at all. He forgot to put magic drying powder on the torch, and while by some miracle it didn't break in the fire, it did when he dropped it. Everything seemed to be going wrong. Even Olander's wing breaking off. Strangely enough, friends, this story reminds me of Christmas and our great God. Today, we have nativity sets and pictures of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem in our homes to help us remember how Jesus was born. It all looks so cute and it gives us happy memories because Christmas is full of such joy. But I can only imagine what it must have felt like for Mary and Joseph as they awaited Jesus' birth. Mary wasn't married when she found out she was going to have a baby. Joseph, well, he almost ran away. I'm sure they both thought, who's going to believe that an angel told me this baby is God's son? Right before Mary's baby was born, they were ordered to travel to a faraway town. And not on a bus or airplane, which doctors say is not a good idea to do even now in our time today, but on their feet, or at best maybe on a donkey. And once they got there, the only place left that they could rest was in a stable for stinky animals. That smelly barn became the birthplace of this miracle baby that they knew to be God's very own son. Can you imagine how Mary felt to only offer Jesus an animal feeding dish to lay his head in? He was God's son, God himself. Joseph and Mary must have felt like they were failing, and failing badly. Everywhere they turned, there were setbacks, things seeming like they were going way wrong. A man by the name of John Piper once said, "Christmas marked the beginning of God's most successful setback. He's always delighted to show his power through apparent defeat." That means God uses things that look like failure sometimes to us to do his most amazing work. Let me show you what I mean from the book of Philippians, chapter 2 in God's Word. Paul teaches people to live with humility like Jesus did in these words. In his very nature, he was God. Jesus was equal with God. But Jesus didn't take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. He did this by taking on the nature of a servant. He was made just like human beings. He appeared as a man. Friends, Jesus was with his Father in heaven before he became a baby on this earth. You think my superhero costume powers are amazing? Jesus had power over everything before coming to Earth. He created the whole world just with his words. And he chose, as Paul tells us, to make himself nothing. He traded his powers, like being able to be everywhere all at once, for things like experiencing weakness and sadness and pain. He took on the form of a servant and became a baby human. Those seeming setbacks continued throughout Jesus' life. Think about it. Jesus was born in a smelly stable, not a palace, and a palace couldn't even begin to honor the royalty of Jesus. As he grew older, the Jewish leaders hated him. He was hated so much that they killed him. Paul goes on to say, he was humble and obeyed God completely. He did this even though it led to his death. Even worse, he died on a cross. A cross was the worst punishment for someone who had done something horrible. But friends, what looked like a horrible failure was anything but. It was God's plan in action, his perfect plan. From the manger all the way to the cross and the grave, our amazing God was working out his plan. None of the seeming failures surprised him. He was using all of them to rescue those he loved, us. And he did that when he rose from the grave. That's often how God seems to choose to work, through things that seem like setbacks and failures. I think that might be so that we can't deny that he is the one doing the amazing things, so that we can't take credit ourselves. Peppy faced setbacks and failures in our story today, but those things happened because Peppy wasn't perfect. He messed up. And Peppy's attitude handling those things was a bit sour, complainy even. But not Jesus. Isaiah prophesied long before Jesus came as a baby. He said, he will suffer the things we should have to suffer. The servant was pierced because we had sinned. He was treated badly and made to suffer, but he didn't open his mouth. He was led away like a lamb to be killed. Unlike Peppy, Jesus' suffering and even death weren't because of his wrongs, but ours. And when he had all the reason to be frustrated and complain, unlike Peppy, Jesus didn't. He trusted God's plan. And like Peppy, God used what seemed to not be going right to do something good. So this Christmas, as you reflect on Jesus' birth as a human baby, remember the setbacks and what seemed to be like failure was all a part of God's plan to save you and to save me from the sin that keeps us from him. He's so good, friends. So, so good. Merry Christmas. Had the happiest time remembering Jesus as we celebrate his birth. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.